May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
After my ordination, I was filled with joy and enthusiasm. Free from the stresses of seminary and nightly homework, I felt renewed energy for my job as a nurse. And I loved becoming deeply involved in ministry in my home parish. Then, about 6 months later, I was hit with reality shock. Between work in hospice and a church, it seemed I was constantly on the go without any downtime. And worst of all, I was sure I was not doing a particularly good job in either place. The saving grace was that for a year, the newly ordained met once a month with an experienced priest or deacon in their deanery for support and guidance. The month that I was at my lowest ebb, Kitty Lehman was our mentor. Now, Kitty was a star in the diocese, sort of like Libby. She was an elegant woman, the rector of a very large and prosperous congregation near Stanford University. Kitty radiated serenity, quiet wisdom, and a playful sense of humor. So when it was my turn to speak, I just poured out my heart. And eagerly, I awaited her sage advice. Kitty smiled gently and said, "Elizabeth, humility." And then went on to the next person. I was stunned and deeply disappointed. Driving home that night, I engaged in a very vigorous, mental, angry, and animated conversation with the Reverend Catherine Lehman. Here I am, working my heart out to be the best possible deacon and nurse, and what do I hear? Humility. What kind of advice is that? On and on, I humbled. And I'm embarrassed to admit that this tantrum went on for a few days. Finally, one afternoon, driving through the wonderful Golden Gate Park, I had a spark of insight and, yes, humility. What I wanted, what I expected to hear from Kitty was, "Oh, Elizabeth, you're being too hard on yourself. I'm sure you're doing a terrific job in both places." Kitty simply was not about to play that game. So I spent the evening unpacking the meaning behind Kitty's blunt and incisive lesson. Pride in being the perfect nurse and deacon had replaced the authentic call to ministry. And with some embarrassment, I remembered the words of a 12th step program: to seek progress rather than perfection. And in my pride, I ignored the very real limitations in trying to handle two full-time commitments. Well, in this morning's gospel, the response of Jesus to the Phoenician woman is also unexpected and blunt. The mother expected what she wanted to hear Jesus kindly say was, "Your daughter is indeed healed, go on your way." I imagine this Phoenician woman and the disciples were stunned and disappointed. Jesus was now widely known for his compassion, empathy, and healing powers. And here, he coldly dismissed this woman. However, in my mind's eye, I see Jesus smiling as the woman makes a clever rejoinder. But is this the message of the gospel? Just use the right words and your prayer will be answered as you asked? Or is being clever a way to get extra points with Jesus? Actually, I think the woman won over Jesus by being persistent. The health of her daughter, whom she obviously loved a great deal, was so vital, she was willing to stand up to Jesus in the face of overt hostility. Resistance and boldness in prayer is a constant theme in many of the gospel stories of healing. Even if Jesus might seem tired and irritable, people kept knocking on the door, and Jesus gave them his full attention. When I was in parochial grammar school, a student complained to the nun teaching religion, "God has not answered my prayer." The nun responded, "Yes, he did, and the answer is no." Certainly a flippant and not terribly helpful response. And only partially correct. God does not want us to be miserable in physical, mental, or spiritual pain. God does not send trials to test us, crosses to bear, or suffering to strengthen us. God is all about mercy, love, and compassion. But what about those times when the answer to our prayer seems to be no? I think one of the hardest things to learn and accept as we grow in spiritual maturity is that God's ways are not always our ways, and God's time is far different from ours. However, throughout the Gospels, Jesus is emphatic. In Matthew, we read, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." And again in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." Now, naturally, when we pray about a specific situation, we are concerned about the here and the now. God takes the long view. We tend to be narrow-focused, whereas God has a panoramic view. What may seem like a no is, in a different time frame and context, a yes. We pray with a combination of faith, hope, and humility. Faith is believing in things we cannot see or touch. In the words of St. Paul, we see through a glass darkly. But because we have this faith and belief, we have hope that God will respond. But humility also comes into play, because faith and hope are balanced by the knowledge that God acts only with wisdom and compassion. Even when our petition seems to be unanswered, to be a person of faith, hope, and humility is to trust in God's mercy and wisdom. And I know that that is not always easy. And that is one of the reasons our spiritual life includes diverse prayers. There are various types of prayer. Petitioning God is but one. Our prayer life includes adoration, thanksgiving, penitence, and contemplation. Spiritual life is enriched and deepened by embracing various forms of prayer. Our relationship with God is multifaceted. So our prayer life is strongest when it reflects that diversity. We know that our relationships with family, friends, and co-workers are dynamic and comprehensive. Sometimes we are listeners. Other times, we do the talking. We give and we receive. We ask pardon and we forgive. There are those wonderful times when a couple watch a sunset in silence, in easy and loving companionship. And that is what happens in prayer. Depending upon what is going on in our lives, we give attention and approach God through various forms of prayer, always confident that we are loved and cherished. Amen.
Amen.